verses 3 through 6. The title of the message is Put What You Believe to the Test of Scripture. Put what you believe to the test of Scripture. If you're able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's Word. The book of Galatians chapter 6, verses 3 through 6. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. You may be seated. Thank you. May the Lord bless the reading and the receiving of his word. Christ has warned us in the Gospels that false teachers would come. The Apostle Peter warned us in his epistles that false teachers would come. The Apostle Paul warned us also in his epistles that false teachers would come. Jude in his epistle says that they are here, even now. John in his epistles, the 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, warns us about the spirit of Antichrist, and that even then that spirit was in the churches. These false teachers come and they claim to have an insight into the Scriptures that no one else has. They may come with something that appears to be new. You know, people are fascinated about the unknown. So multitudes are drawn to these false teachers. Jesus Christ warned us that these people again would come, and today, listen, they are here. And they've actually been here since the days of Christ. There have been people teaching and preaching a false gospel. That's not really the gospel at all, as Paul said in Galatians chapter 1. There are those who have said that Christ is coming on this day, Christ is coming on that day, Christ is here, Christ is there. I can remember as a young man watching a video of a lady and a man who actually thought that they were the two witnesses in the book of Revelation, and they were going to bring in the book of the Revelation. They were crazy, yes, demon-possessed, good possibility, but some people are simply out there to deceive others. They do this for selfish reasons, often for money. Some of these people are good orators, and they know how to manipulate a crowd, to manipulate people by adding to and taking away from the Scriptures without the people catching on. Others explain away the truth and replace it with lies. Some of these false teachers come from the outside of the church. We've got to keep this in mind, as we've been reminded, that they come in not saying, I'm a false teacher, but they come in as an angel of light, as a minister of light. These false teachers are not, per se, in the bar rooms or anywhere else trying to present a false gospel. No, they're standing today behind pulpits. They are in organized religion. And they're preaching and teaching those things that are not true. Some come in from the outside. Some come from the inside. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, Paul warns the church at Ephesus. He's about to leave. His desire is to go to Jerusalem. And his desire is also to go to Rome. In verse 25 of Acts 20, Paul says, And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Why is that? Because he's preached the whole counsel of God. Listen, you can't just preach one part of it. We've got to preach the whole thing. And that's what Paul had done. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, unto all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. And look at this. To feed the church of God. What do you feed the church of God? You feed the church. The church is the people, not the building, not the walls. What do you feed them? You feed them wholesome words. You feed them scripture in context, rightly divided. Listen, cooked up and served as it is the Word of God. That makes us strong in the faith. And notice this, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Whose church is it? It's the Lord's church. But look at verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. This is why, to draw away disciples after them. Apostle, this is what's going to happen. I leave. Strong leadership is absent. The enemy will take advantage of that. You must be prepared. He's telling the church at Ephesus, you better grow, you better know, and you better be grounded. We guess what happened to the church of Ephesus? Well, go to the book of Revelation, and we see that they did great in a lot of areas. They were grounded upon the Word of God. They would not allow false teachers to come in. They hated those things that God hated. But we also see in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, that they left their first love. Can we get wrapped up in things and not Christ? Yes, we can. May we be very careful on that. Verse 32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all of them which are sanctified. He talked about, he covered that no man's silver or gold or apparel is important. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered to my necessities and to them that were with me. Paul didn't go around saying, hey, y'all need to give me some money. Paul worked. We see that in the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, where Paul was a tent maker. He worked with his own hands, not just for himself, but as it says here, to them that were with him. And the, one of the reasons I want to read this passage of Scripture, because it goes along with what we're going to learn this morning in the book of Galatians, chapter 3. We are bombarded with so many lies and deceptions that come from what we would consider to be good people, people that we trust, who sometimes may not know any better. But since we are bombarded by these things, this is another reason we are to put what we believe to the test of the Scriptures. Let me ask you this. Why is it that you believe what you believe about the Scriptures? Why is it that there are some hills you're willing to die on that you will not compromise? Why is that? Put it to the test of the Scriptures. And we'll find out that there are some things that we are not to be so dogmatic on, yet there are others where we must be dogmatic on. We can never compromise the gospel. Never. Salvation is one way by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is it. That is the hill we die on. We do not compromise. When is Christ coming back? We don't know. There are all kinds of different beliefs on that. We talked about it earlier at the door when people were coming in about there are those who are pre-trib, there are those who are mid-trib, there are those who are post-trib, pre-wrath, post-wrath, there are those who are all millennials. Listen, there are all kinds of views out there. And there, those are hills that we don't die on. When is Christ coming back? We don't know. But what we do know is that he's coming back. And we are looking for his return. as you and I grow in the Scriptures, our love for the truth should also grow, and our lives will show it as a result of it. We don't want to be like the Pharisees. We can grow in the Word. The Pharisees will grow in learning. But knowledge alone, all it does, the Bible says, is that it puffeth up. It makes us prideful. No, we ought to be putting into action the things that we are learning. We will produce, as we've learned in the book of Galatians, the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. And these are clear evidences the Lord has saved us. Something else that we'll see in our lives, that there will be a constant fighting the works and the desires of the flesh. As we learned last week, we need help with that, don't we? We need help. So let's get into verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Think himself in this verse means to seem to oneself, to be of opinion of oneself, to think, suppose, to believe. Something here in this verse is emphatically meaning somebody, something, some person or thing of weight and importance, some great one. So if someone thinks that they are some great person when they are nothing, they deceive themselves. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Ooh. How often can we get there? Often we compare ourselves among ourselves with other people who are usually not where we think we are at, that we think we're above them, so we have a higher view of ourselves than we ought to. In context here, this is talking about someone, if you can back up verses 1 and 2, someone who's been in sin. We can say, that had never happened to me. Can't believe they would do something like that. And the fact of the matter is, it can very well happen to us. This is a person who thinks they are what they are not. You know, some people know they are not who they think they are, while others are convinced that they are by their wicked hearts. I think Miss Toya, my wife, used to do a lot of babysitting. And she's babysitted a lot of y'all's children who are here. And they all are unique. They're all different. And some of them, you couldn't help but watch because they'd make you laugh. And it's like you want to know what is going through their minds. And one of those was Jack. He was hilarious to watch. He came out in the living room one day, and he had a pair of some kind of skates on his feet. I think he may have had maybe a cape tied around his neck. And he just kind of sat there. Like, what's he thinking? And all of a sudden, he just jumps like if he's going to fly like Superman. And of course, he hit the floor hard. But the point I'm making is, in his mind, what was Jack thinking? Well, we don't know for one thing, but his actions showed he was thinking that he was about to take off like Superman with those skates. But it didn't happen. What did he do? He fell. Jack understood quickly that he was not who he thought he was. We can praise ourselves. We can put ourselves up on a pedestal. And we all are around people like this. And if you think that you've never been around someone like that, then you're probably that one to think that you're better than everybody else. You're always talking about self. Well, my dog is better. My vehicle is better. My horse is better. I've done this. I've done that. I got the best, this, so on and so forth. And you pick yourself up and put yourself where you ought not be. And you begin to boast about yourself. Listen, Proverbs 27:2 says, let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth. A stranger, someone who don't even know you, and not thine own lips. My dad's got a saying that's not biblical, so I do not encourage you to follow this saying. But he says, he who tooteth not his own horn shall not be tooted. And I tell my kids, my wife does, don't say everything that your papa tells you. Romans 12:16 says, be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Look, have the right view of yourself. It says, be not wise in your own conceits or in your own ways, your own thoughts. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. Sin is real. And keep this in mind, our flesh is drawn to those things that are sinful. Our flesh wants that. When we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, we tend to think that we are above our authority, that we are above our guide, or we are above our rule. We will think that our way must be the best way, and we will seek to justify those actions when we are confronted with our wrongdoing. Someone says, well, that was wrong. Yeah, but this is why I did that. Listen, if it's wrong, it's wrong. Yet we'll convince ourselves that we are the exception to the rule. When a person is someone of importance and knows it, that's one thing. In other words, if... Lord, help me with this. I'm sorry, this just... Ooh. If you are the King of England and you know it, that's one thing. Almost if you was the President and you know it. Lord, help us. I'm just saying because I don't know if he knows it or not. Pray for him as we learned this morning, right? But if you're the King of England and you know it because the Queen just passed, that's one thing. But if you think you're the King of England, you've convinced yourself of it and you're not, that's another thing. Understand that the king of the land has the power, the authority to make and change laws as he pleases. The king's subjects are subject to those laws and are to be guided by them. When someone steps outside of those laws, they are usurping the authority of the king. And the penalty for that could very well be death. How much more is the severity of the judgment when we step outside of the Scriptures given to us by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? To keep verse 3 in context, we are dealing with helping a brother or sister who has been overtaken by the works of the flesh. They are not living the lifestyle of someone who's lost, as we learn in Galatians 5:19-21. That's not their lifestyle. But what has happened to them is they have been overtaken by the works of the flesh. Something, as we learned last week, has set them back. They've been overtaken by sin. The Scriptures are plain about who is lost and who is not lost. In other words, who is lost, who is saved. And also who needs help and who they are who must help those who are in need. Folks, before we go help someone in sin, we better know what manner of person that we are. Don't think yourself up here saying, that's not going to happen to me. How dare you sin that type of sin? You little peasant, let me come help you. No, listen, you and I are able to fall in these sins. And how terrible is it when we do? If we think that we are above sin, we deceive ourselves. If we think we're above the Scriptures, we have deceived ourselves. The word deceiveth here in verse 3 means to be a mind misleader, to delude, to deceive. Notice the Bible says that he deceiveth himself. The Scriptures are clear in this. The Scriptures never change, and they never contradict themselves. And that's why we must prove everything by the Scriptures. Why is it that I'm doing what I'm doing? Why is it that I'm not doing what I'm not doing? Why is it that we're trying to help one another in the Christian life? Why do we do this? How sad is it that most people go through life, they attend church, and they never know why they do what they do? Why do we have the Lord's Supper? Why do we have baptism? Why is there a certain way to take in church members and a certain way to send them out? Why do we do what we do? Why do we sing the songs that we sing when we sing songs? Why do we preach the way we preach? Some will say, well, that's just how this church does it. That's how that church does it. But why do we do it? It should be because that's what the Scripture commands us. Again, the Scriptures never change and they never contradict themselves. Verse 4. But let every man approve his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. Prove in this verse means to make trial of, put to the proof, examine. This takes time and honesty. Don't have a false view of yourself. Be honest. This means that we're taking the time to prove our own work. We're taking the time to prove why it is that we do what we do. And we examine our works according to the Scriptures. The word work in this verse is of the works of men in reference to right and wrong as judged by the moral law, the precepts of the gospel. What is our motive in doing what we do? What is our motive? Looking back at verses 1 and 2, this person has been overtaken in the fault. Why are we going to them to help them? Why are we trying to help this person or these people who have been overtaken in a fault? Through these Scriptures, we've also looked at church discipline. Why do we practice church discipline? We can write a list of reasons. But the main reason we practice church discipline is, first of all, it's in obedience to the Scriptures, which will glorify the Lord. And we know that we love the Lord and we love others. And this is why we practice church discipline. And all of it is for the honor and the glory of the Lord. We're not saying, look at us, it's what we do. Be like us. No, we're doing what we're doing out of obedience and out of love for the Lord and obedience to His Word. Again, which brings Him honor and glory. We see the outward actions of people, don't we? But God knows the heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 says, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Earlier in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, Paul dealt with storing up basically treasures in heaven, doing what we're doing, rewards, some wood, hay, and stubble, some gold, silver, so on and so forth, and they're all tried by fire. And what we've done for the Lord is going to last. But what we've done for self is going to burn up, be consumed when it's put to the test. While we're here this morning in this building, it is great to see y'all. Wonderful to see y'all. But why are we here? Are we here to keep face? Are we here out of obedience to the Scriptures and out of a love for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And a love for one another. Lord, help us. And He does help us, doesn't He? Notice it says, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself. Now hang on. Whoa, 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 whoa. This is where it may seem like the Bible contradicts itself. The Bible just said, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to, and now it's telling us to rejoice in ourselves? What's this mean? It says, and not in another. Well, this rejoicing, it's a boasting that can be in a bad sense and in a good sense. That's why it's important to do word studies. This here is in a good sense. So you look at what you did, and you step back and you ask yourself, why did I do that? It's okay, the Bible says to do this. And I'm obeying the Bible, and I did this out of love for the Lord and a love for my fellow man. I did this the right way. I did this the biblical way. So we can step back and say, Lord, thank you. I did this for you. Do you see the rejoicing there? This wasn't for me. This wasn't to put on the front page of the paper or to put all over social media. I washed the dishes today or whatever it is I did. No, Lord, I did this for you. And there's rejoicing there. And it says, and not in another. You know, there are other people who will judge us, and they'll say things like, why are you doing that? They'll influence us. Why are you going to church? Sunday school? That's a waste of time. And you're going back tonight? What? Now, once a day is good enough. Whoa, you going on Wednesday? What is wrong with you? Why do you keep going back? Is that not a great influence upon us? So, well, I keep going back because I love the Lord. Well, we have to step back and say, okay, why do I keep going back to church? Well, what's the Bible say about that? Why do I read my Bible every day? Why do I pray like I do? See, we're examining ourselves. We're examining what we're doing by the Word of God, not by the traditions of men or the opinions of men. I go to church again because I love the Lord. I love people, and I want to obey His Word. His Word tells me that we're not to forsake the gathering of ourselves together, as some people do, right? But we gather together to love, out of love, to provoke each other unto what? The Bible says, good works. We gather together because we love Him. We love others. We step back and we say, yeah, that's why I do that. The Bible commands me to, and I love the Lord. Instead of saying, no, I'm going to stop going to Sunday school. I'm going to stop going to church, except for just maybe once a week, because that's what everybody else expects me to do. No, we go because we do because the Lord tells us to by His Word, because we love Him. Why do we have a desire for the Word of God? Why do we read it? The Bible tells us in the book of Peter that we desire the Word as a babe desires, as a newborn babe desires milk. And just like a child, a baby has to have that milk, you and I have to have the Word of God. And then we step back and there's rejoicing there again. That we're doing what we're doing out of love for the Lord. That's wonderful, folks. That is wonderful. Look at verse 5. Every man shall bear his own burden. Now verse 2 says, bear you one of those burdens. So again, it say, well, hang on, is the Bible contradicting itself? No, it's not. When you rightly define these words, rightly divide it, you'll see it's not contradictory. Every man shall bear his own burden. Shall bear in this verse means to carry or to bear. The burden is spoken of the burdens of one's own responsibilities and failures. But the saying here is that you can't blame someone else. You can't say, well, I didn't know. No, you and I have been given the Word of God, which is pure and perfect. It plainly tells us how to live and how to treat others. And it's also clear on who is saved and who is not. If a scripture does not seem to be clear, it's usually because we have our minds have already been made up by something or someone else. So what we'll do is that we'll take water that's clear and pretty, and we'll take our own thoughts and emotions and throw dirt in it. When you get throw dirt in the water, you get murky and muddy water. We muddy up the water, per se. But the Scripture's clear. This is another reason it's so important that we do not deceive ourselves, that we have the Scriptures rightly taught to us, and that we rightly study the Scriptures. Rightly understanding the Word of God. Verse 6 says, let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. In Galatians 6:6, the word is taught is to send down into the ears. See, y'all are here this morning, and more than likely y'all knew that we were going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. Why is that? Because we continually go verse by verse, unless the Lord leads otherwise, and we break down these verses. We learn what they say. We learn the Word of God says. So that when we leave here, we don't leave saying, well, this is what Brother Jimmy said. This is what my pastor said. No, we leave here saying, this is what the Word of God actually says. And so we're grounded upon that, not upon man's opinions. But this morning, as you're here, you are hearing, it's being sent down into your ears what the Scriptures say. Here's a word that can be used in a positive or a negative sense. You are being indoctrinated. You are being, another word there is, catechized. You are being informed, instructed. You're being taught the Word of God. It's your responsibility as a congregation to let this come in through your ears and sink in and take root. But what else are you supposed to do? You're supposed to take what you hear and prove it by the Word of God. Is my pastor teaching me truth? Is what he said, is that real? Or is that just his opinion? Is he breaking down the Word of God? Is he giving me wholesome food? Or is he just going on the internet to sermons.com, and that may be a real place, may not, I have no idea, okay? But is he going there and printing his sermons out? I've heard of preachers doing that. That they get up on Sunday mornings and they print out a sermon that looks good to them. I promise you, I don't do that. You can ask my wife and kids. Study. Much time and studying. Not trying to boast of myself, just making that clear. What we are taught is clear here. It says, let him that is taught, notice this, verse 6, in the what? Word. Taught in the Word. We could sum this up by saying, Scripture. Let him who is taught in the Scripture, let that sink down deep into you. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's go there. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 3. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. The Bible says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to, look at this, wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Understand that when you and I are growing in the Word of God, when we are hearing the Word of God taught, it should point us to godliness. It should point us to being more like Jesus Christ, not like the things of this world. If someone's not teaching that, look at verse 4. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil, surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. If he's not teaching wholesome words, then the result is that there will not be holy living among the congregation. And this is what you're going to end up with. Division. You're going to end up with perverse disputings. You end up with men of corrupt minds. There'll be envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. This is something else. They'll suppose that, notice this, gain is godliness. They'll say if God is blessing you with material things, then it's obvious you're right with God. That's what they'll say. They'll say, if you want a new car, believe it and you'll get it. They'll say, if you want a new house, believe it and you'll get it. If you want to be rich, if you're not rich, it's your own fault. Because you don't have enough faith. And all emphasis to someone who's not teaching wholesome words, all emphasis is on self. How you can have a better life now. It's not about take up your cross and crucify yourself daily. It's not about, again, take up your cross and follow Christ daily. There's a role reversal. It's saying, you are a little God, and God must do what you tell Him to do. Therefore, it's all about you, and there's no unity in the church house. It's all about me, and how can I get what I want, even if it costs you? It says here, supposing that gain is godliness, notice this, from such, what do you do? Withdraw thyself. You don't follow them. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and certainly we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that, notice this, will be rich, this means they never get enough, fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. False teachers always want your resources. They always want your money. And they'll do what they can to get it. And here's what's sad. Those who are unknowing and deceived will give it to them. But Paul, back in Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, let him that is taught in the Word, notice this, you who are allowing the Word to go down into your ears, communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. There have been some debates about what this word communicate here means. But when you look it up, it means to share resources with others. False teachers will rob you. They'll say, give, give, give. But folks, don't give to them. They fulfill the desires of their flesh with what you give them. Paul says here specifically, give to those who are truly preaching and teaching the Scriptures. And they will use what you give them to further the kingdom of God. Use it for kingdom work. The word, again, communicating this verse means to share resources with others. I have to say this publicly because I know this is going to be on the radio and other places. But the elders of this church are not here for your money. Never have been. And the checkbook is open for all to look at. I think y'all know that, don't you? If we were here for the money, we'd have been gone a very long time ago. Actually, we would have never came to begin with. But we're not here for the money. We're here to teach and preach the Word of God. To see you grow, and it's a joy to see that. But you also have a biblical mandate to give to the local church. To give to those who are communicating or to those who are rightfully teaching the Word of God. You give to the ministry. And in giving to the ministry, you help those people who do communicate truths to keep going. You help support the missionaries that this church supports. We could go on and on about lights and air conditioning, couldn't we? Insurance costs. But this message is not a message about giving money, per se. It's about you and I having a right understanding of who we are and how others are and who our God is and why is it that we're doing what we're doing. We're doing what we're doing with the honor and the glory of the Lord. Make sure that what we believe and are learning is truth. And then act upon that truth. There are things in the Bible that I'll be honest with you that I don't necessarily like. But that doesn't change what the Bible says, does it? My preferences doesn't change the Bible. There are some teachings in the Bible that are very hard to be understood. Yet when we understand them, they are very beneficial to us. We can't say, well, I've gotten here, I don't want to grow anymore. That's when the enemy comes in and begins sowing those things that are not true. We need to put what we believe to the test of Scripture in context and rightly divide it. Help one another through this life. As we've already mentioned, we all need help, don't we? God's good to us, isn't He? Amen. Let's pray.